Good morning. I'm just doing an audio check. All right. Just listening to what this sounds like. Yeah, wise guys over there.
Welcome, everyone. We're going to be starting the DNSSEC workshop in about 5 minutes or so. We do encourage people to come and take seats up around the U-shaped table, except for right at the end of the U, where we'll have our panelists sit. So if you're a panelist in the first panel this morning, you're welcome to sit in the front of the table. And we do welcome anybody else to come and sit around the U-shaped table, and it is a much better way to see the teeny-weeny little screen that is there. So we encourage you to sit around the table, and we'll start in just a few minutes.
There's lots of seats at the table, folks, and that screen is kind of small and hard to read, so please come up to the front if you're having trouble seeing. Come up and sit at the table.
All right. So good morning, everyone. Welcome to this DNSSEC workshop here at ICANN 54. Are we good to go, Julie? We should say thank you to everybody who's coming here. I see a number of familiar faces and some not so familiar faces. So we're going to be talking here for the scope of these 6 hours on a whole range of topics. You're obviously welcome to come and go as you wish. There's an agenda that you all should have. I would second the call that Russ made earlier, that we'd encourage people to come up and sit around the table. The slides that many people will be presenting are going to be up there in that screen that you see there. And if you're in the back there, like Dwayne, you know, you could come up here and join us if you want to. You know, or Wes, what are you doing back there, man? You're not going to see those things. Oh, he has to leave. Okay, well, anyway, as you might tell, some of us have been here for a while and we know each other. But you're welcome to come up and join us. There's no special invitations needed, and you're welcome to be here. We will have lunch in here and some other pieces. So let me start. My name is Dan York. I'm with the Internet Society, part of the program committee that puts this together. Let me give you a little bit of information. This is the session is going on here. You can get the slides, if you can't see them all the way up there, at page that is shown up here. The slides are all available there for the different sessions. The audio streams are also there. We also are doing some live video streams out on YouTube just so people could see the shiny faces of all of us who are here and those kind of things. That's actually streaming from that webcam right there, so we'll see how that goes. Those are out and available. The program committee that is, yeah, sorry guys, you're on. You're being recorded for posterity. You always were anyway. This is being recorded, we should say, on a couple of forms. Yes, it's on YouTube now on this, but it will also be recorded in the and available from the ICANN program page here as well as part of that screen. So the program committee members, who's here in the audience? Who can? Russ, you're here. Jacques, who else is here? Shiro comes in into our calls from odd hours in Japan to join us. He gets the award for that. Number of other folks. This group has been working together for a good number of years to try to put these programs on. They're the ones you should thank for the sessions today as you hear them and work with them and listen to them. We are obviously here for this. We'll be getting going then soon as well for planning for the next session. So at ICANN 55 in Marrakesh. So as you listen today, and as you hear some of these sessions and you think, oh, I could present on this topic or I have a great idea, then consider it, because we'll be putting out a call for proposals soon and we'll be looking for people to come and present at the next event. The luncheon we're going to have, you could see the food is starting to be, or well, the things are put up there, right? Whatever you call those things, warmers, the dishes, yes, those things are out there. We will be having lunch. And it is brought to us by these five great companies, Afilias, Sira, Dyn, .se, and SIDN. So we have them to thank. And here, let's give a round of applause for them. They are the folks that bring you food, so that way you're able to continue to be here and have the great conversations and things that we do. I will mention, as it says there, we are looking for one sponsor to join the ranks of those companies. We need about five of these sponsors to be able to fund this for the course of the year. So if anybody is interested in having their company listed among these names and helping sponsor the three that are there, and also getting on, your names are on the back of this, I should say, you will see here. If you would like to be among those very few companies that help make this and have the undying gratitude of the DNSSEC community, please talk to me, because we will need somebody for starting in Marrakesh and going on from there. And thank you to the other four who are continuing. The one who's changing is .se, who has been sponsoring these for 10 years, and they have been done a phenomenal amount to help with all this. But Anne-Marie has said they would like to take a little break and lend that spot to somebody else. So please talk to me. We also want to say thank you to Afilius, although I don't see Jim Galvin or anybody from Afilius here I can thank? Not direct, but when you see Jim, thank him, because his company sponsored the gathering that we had the other night. Looks dark in those pictures, but it was a good event in the bottom of that, the Ferryman pub right across the street here. These are great events that bring together a lot of the community. Christian sponsored them in the past, Jacques, some of the other folks who are here. We are actually looking for a sponsor for the one in Marrakesh, so if anybody's interested in doing that, it's a great way to help continue the conversations that we have inside of here. Welcome to the DNSSEC workshop. You're welcome to come on in. Grab a seat along the tables, grab some seats back here, wherever you wish to be. Come on in. This project, this workshop, the sessions that we have here are a joint production of the ESSAC, the Security and Stability Advisory Committee here, as well as the Internet Society Deploy 360 program. So, we're not going to read that too well. But the program on the slide that's up there, as you'll see, we have this fine array of folks who are up here in front of us who are going to talk about the DNSSEC activities in Europe. And Peter Kalk is here with a tie and everything. He's looking very formal. You know, I mean, this is... Yeah, I'll tell you, you know, this is great. So we have a range of characters up here who are going to talk to us about what's happening at DNSSEC in Europe. And then after that, because my eyesight can't read that chart on there, we have Jacques is going to be moderating a panel where we're going to be talking about DNSSEC on the edge and some of the ways that we're looking at proving these kind of things. Oh, here we have Roy. New Facebook profile for Peter. And then we're going to have our lunch break. We're going to have our lunch break, and then we're going to get into a session. We're going to talk about DNSSEC and applications. We have a number of people who are going to be doing some things. I'm told there might even be a demo or two in here, maybe even live demos. So we'll see how that always goes. Those always add entertainment value to us. And then Christian Hesselman's going to come back up at the end and talk a bit more about mechanisms around stimulating DNSSEC deployment. Some of the items he's had in .nl and other questions, I think, for the larger community about how we do that. And then at the very end, Russ and I will be back up to kind of wrap things up and go through this. This is an interactive session. We do ask people to go and you know, talk to us, engage. If you are going to speak, if you're not willing to come up and sit at the table, you got to walk to where this mic will be over there. But if you want to come up to the table, you got a mic right there that you can just push the button and it turns on and you can speak really good. We do ask you to introduce yourself just because we do have remote sessions. We do have remote people who are out here and doing that. So I'm going to start just with a quick little tour of what we've been seeing as far as deployment counts and some of the information that's here. This chart shows the latest stats we're getting out of Jeff Houston's APNIC, his labs that are showing the overall growth of DNSSEC validation. And right now, his queries are showing that it's about 14% of all DNS queries globally are being validated. You'll see there's a little dip in there. It's partly because the way that Jeff measures it is with Google Ads and some of the pieces that are there. And Google made a change where they dropped Flash and went to HTML5 and things. And it took Jeff's team a little bit to catch up with how to make their systems work. But he told me yesterday at the implementers gathering that they've got system back up and going and they're quite happy with how it's working. So he thinks from this point forward, it'll be a very solid measurement. So anyway, it's showing a nice growth overall. If you dive into those numbers, and I'm not going to read this from here. Okay, if we look at these numbers again, we'll see that in some places overall, we've got really good validation happening, you know, to the degree of... about 31% closely in Eastern Africa. Now, we'll dive into that a little bit and see a little bit more of what's going on in there. But some of the areas that we're seeing these kind of ranges, one interesting thing about Jeff's graph is he also charts who's using Google's public DNS, the 8.8, et cetera, because he's seen that that has a lot of people involved with it. And so if we look at, for instance, Europe, one of the interesting aspects is you can see where you have DNSSEC validation. And the things I'm always looking for is a high percentage of validation and actually, quite honestly, a low percentage of Google Public DNS, which means that more of the ISPs in the region are actually deploying it. And so, for instance, if we look at Sweden, It says that it's about 77% of all DNS queries coming out of that area are validating, and only 7.5% are Googled to public DNS. So that means all of those other queries are either coming from the ISPs in Sweden or, I guess another public DNS. But we're seeing some really great uptake on this. Now, Rick Lamb, who's in the back there, has his charts that are showing the continued, you know, we love this hockey stick, right, of top-level domains. But, of course, that's all the new gTLDs that are coming out, right? So they're all coming out signed from the get-go. And so we're seeing this uptick that's happening there. But if we're looking for stats, you know, we're now at 84% of top-level domains are all signed in some way. Looking at some of the numbers, Rick added a little while ago the ability to look at the number of signed domains versus total domains, and got some numbers in here that show, for instance, that the most domains signed in the world belong to .nl. Woohoo! Okay. And they're coming in about 2.5 million domains signed inside there, which Rick's stats have at about 44%. And then we go on down from here. So we're seeing other ones that are in here. We've got Andre with .cz or CZ. Other folks who are around here, .org, others. Now, Rick's data only has the sources that he can get. So we can't get information from everybody. So they're part of that, and you can see some of those. Interestingly, too, look, we are seeing some uptick in the new gTLDs. One that's interesting is the OVH. I don't know if anybody's connected them. Are you? Okay. So it's a TLD that starts out in like signing and hosting and doing all those kind of things. And so they've had a large percentage of the new gTLDs under there. And an interesting other one was .bank. I've not had much dealing with them, but I know that part of their whole premise was that you would wind up with secure from the start and all this kind of thing. And so all of their domains right now, the 2,500 or so in that new gTLD are all DNSSEC signed. So kind of interesting things to do this. Calk. What are you doing, man? All right. So for people who are remote, Peter has just put on sunglasses. So, all right. Here we go. Okay. So I want to look at the implementation status on the maps in the few minutes that I have here. I don't know how I'm going to be serious here. Okay. So in our maps that we look at the experimental announced partial, which means that the zone is signed, but there's no DS in the root. And then we look at what is DS in the root in those pieces. And so let's look at our charts, our maps, because we like them. Here's how the picture is overall. We're seeing a lot of nice green all over the place, which is what we want, other than Africa still needs a bit of work over there, but there's some good news there. And in fact, one of the good news is Zambia. How many people know where Zambia is? Well, Africa, yes. Thank you. That was good. All right. Step one, since the chart is Africa. Anybody know? This is your test. Which green spot is Zambia? Do you know? Just testing. Bottom one. Well, the one on the right. No, actually, Zambia is here in this area. But they just signed in October. So our newest ccTLD that has joined the ranks of the secure ccTLD. So kudos to Zambia on that one. In Asia Pacific, nothing has really changed since the last time we were standing up here. Europe, nice and green all over the place. We've got a few little spaces to fill in, but overall pretty good. Latin America, we had two changes since the last time. One was Mexico signed. It had a number of, it's been working on it for a while, but they signed. They actually went operational, did those kind of things. And Uruguay as well joined in August. I'll ask the question, where's Uruguay? South Africa, or South America, yeah. North of Argentina, right. All right, good deal. All right. And North America hasn't changed. There we go. Deployment maps are out there that we have. You can get to them. You can get these every week if you'd like to see the new maps, and you can always go and download new copies. And I think that's all I have. I have started up a little events calendar on the dnssec-deployment.org site. If you have an event that is related to DNSSEC, you are welcome to send it to me, and I will be glad to add it to this calendar so we can have that information up there. And, one last thing to mention. We had a hackathon. There was a hackathon at IETF 93 in Prague, and a number of us were there participating in this program. I see Sarah's back there. Wes, no. Yeah. Yeah, no, you weren't there. Yeah. For other people. Who else was there? No, okay. Well, anyway, we had a good time working on projects that were around Dane, around Deprive, around DNSSEC. It was a good event that was there. We had a bunch of things. These were in the slides. We actually had a bunch of public releases of software coming out of this two-day hackathon of some new software people released. And I mention this because coming up at IETF 94, how many people are going to Yokohama for IETF 94? A number of folks. Okay. Well, if you're able to come in the weekend before, yes, it's Halloween, but if you are, be able to participate in the hackathon that's going on there, which is a time when people are just working on code. And I know Allison Mankin is looking to organize another group, go and do it. The DNSSEC team actually won. We were awarded best in show, I guess, or whatever, for the events that we put together. So it's kind of cool. Anyway, that brings me to the end of my slides, except to mention that we still do have the DNSSEC history project around out there. If you're interested in helping out with that, I'd love some help. That's all. So I'm going to turn it over to Russ. Oh, no, Julie wants to say something.
Just a couple of logistic things. So you have a program, and on the back of your program is a ticket, and that's your ticket to lunch. Now, lunch is in this room, and so if you choose to sit in this room for 6 hours or however many, well, not 6 hours to lunch, but if you don't go anywhere, then you won't need the ticket. But if you leave the room, you need your ticket so that you can get back in and have lunch. So anyway, hang on to that if you do leave. And also, I'm not sure if Dan mentioned, but we will indeed have a quiz, DNSSEC DNS quiz, and Roy Ahrens is going to be doing that. So the program actually should say Roy, but we didn't have time to change it. So Roy, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And while we're here, I want to say thank you to two other people. One is Julie over here and also Kathy, who have been helping us with making this program possible. So it would not be possible without their assistance to make all that happen. Thank you both.
Well, good morning, folks. Really glad to be here. It's great to be in Europe again, especially for the DNSSEC workshop. One of the things that I really enjoy about coming to Europe for these is we very often end up with a competition between the various European countries about who has the most signed zones. And that's always fun for somebody like myself that's been engaged in trying to get this going for a long time. And kudos to everybody that's done so much. And in a lot of ways, Europe still leads the world in what's going on with DNSSEC. And so I'm really pleased to be able to host our regional panel, and I think I may have forgotten to say, I'm Russ Mundy. Sorry.
We know who you are.
There's probably some people that don't know who I am here, even though I've been doing these quite a while. Anyway, welcome all of our panelists. You can look at the order on the program. We're doing it in alphabetic order by last name, and that just seems to be a nice, easy convention. So we will start with Andre Philippe from NICSCZ. We're going to try to do approximately 10 minutes per, and I, as usual, have the little counter here so people can see how you're doing when you're speaking, and others can just wait and wait until it's time to jump up and ask the questions, because we do want to have questions, and we'll try to go through all the presentations and then do questions at the end. So, Andre, are you ready?
Okay, thank you very much. So, my name is Andre Philippe. I'm coming from Czech Republic. And, we sort of used to be the leaders of the DNSSEC. Not anymore. We are beaten by Dutch very horribly. I'm sorry to say that, but it's true. So, next slide, please. And the problem is that I think we have like 38% of signed domains, and unfortunately, it's roughly the same number that I reported 2 years ago. So we had very, very fast, quick, you know, rise at the beginning, and now we are stagnating a little bit. It doesn't mean we are not working on the DNSSEC, but it just says, you know, that we sort of utilize all possible ways how to quickly make those numbers, because the majority of those domains are domains that are, hosted by large registrators or DNS providers, and they were quickly able to make it. The rest of the domains are split among, you know, a lot of multiple DNS servers which are out of control of the registrar, so it's not so easy to force those people to sign it. Although we were able to sort of, I wouldn't say force, but let's say cooperate with many important sites in the Czech Republic, mainly newspapers, almost all newspapers, like websites are assigned in Czech Republic, the same for some major banks. Banks are quite complicated, we still need to work with them, but it's quite okay. All Czech registrars, or almost all, or all that matters, support DNSSEC, and they sign by default, so that's why the number looks as it looks. And DNSSEC is quite a good topic in the Czech Republic. We are sort of able to lobby for including this into Digital Czech, which is the digital strategy for the Czech Republic. Actually, we should now start to say Czechia, because that's a new short term for Czech Republic. I don't know how it sounds for native English speakers, but that's a new invention. So Digital Czechia 2.0. And also in a recent cybersecurity strategy, so there is mentioning that the government will support DNSSEC and its deployment everywhere. Next slide, please. The percentage of validating resolvers is a little bit better than the number of signed domains, so almost 50% of resolvers. But if you look at the numbers, queries, it's even better. That's caused by the fact that all major ISPs are validating, I mean all cell phone operators and incumbent operator. So it's really good. We are still working on it, but again, there's the same problem. You can easily talk to big guys and you know, bring arguments why they should validate, but you cannot reach all those thousands of the small ones. So we are still trying to reach them, but it's of course goes much slower than at the beginning. But I think really, if you connect to the internet in the Czech Republic, very probably your resolver of your ISPs will validate for you. So that's pretty good. Next slide, please. So we are now concentrating not exactly on our situation, but we are trying to help the others. As you know, we are more a software house than an internet registry. So we are developing a lot of stuff, and also we have some small attached registry to our company. And one of the software we develop is called NotDNS, the authoritative resolver. So here are some news which are related to DNSSEC in this daemon. First of all, we switched from GNU TLS to GNU TLS instead of OpenSSL, and in version 2.0 we introduce a key and signing signature policy framework. So that means that you just define some policy. For example, this domain should be signed, and the key should be rotated in 14 days. And then you just add this policy to a zone, and NotDNS deals with this procedure completely automatically. So it generates keys, makes the rotation and stuff like that, pre-publish and so on. So it works very well and helps to deploy DNSSEC for people that are not so technically aware of that. Next slide, please. And we are pretty close to release version 2.1, which has some another features. And that's mainly DNSSEC online signing. We made a special module that helps the ISPs that have that deploy IPv6 and need to have correct reverse DNS, correct PTR records for all the IP addresses. And as you know, the space of IPv6 addresses is vast, so you cannot regenerate the zone, but we create the zone on fly, online, and that was not signed, and in this version we will introduce also online signing, so all the PTR records that will be generated will be also signed. We use just a single type signing scheme, I mean just a single key, not the pair of keys like KSK, ZSK, but I think for this purpose it's quite okay. And we use the minimally covering NSEC records, so if you return the query, it just really calculates the very minimal neighbors that might exist in such an artificial zone. And also to sort of decrease the load, we return no data instead of NX domain, because there is less computation and it has smaller size in the answers. So that is all news in the resolver side. If you want to test it and send us some feedback, we will be more than happy. But we also continue on Resolver side. Next slide, please. And we are really, really close to release some sort of public or, let's say, numbered version of NotDNS Resolver. If you want to play with that, it's because it's working, honestly. I'm using it on my laptop. Andre, who is leading the team, is the ugly man there in the back, at the back. He's also using that, so it works for us at least. And we are trying to debug it as much as possible. But so if you want to test it, please do. We have quite nice documentation. I think that's one of the strengths we have. So here is the URL. You can read it, and it's really very modular platform for DNS service. We include in point of DNSSEC, we support the important RFCs like 5011 and also the negative test anchors. So I think it's pretty modern, written in C plus some Lua extension. And it's quite fast. As usually, if we start some project, we have a plan. So for this project, we plan to make the fastest resolver in the world, of course. So I think we are quite good in that. It's not so bad. So test it now internally. And, we have a network of small routers. It's called the Tourist Project. So we would like to deploy DNS resolver on them, just to have huge testing bed for NotDNS Resolver, so it's going to happen soon. First, it will be voluntary, and when we are sure that it's working very well, we will switch to by default option for tourists. Next slide, please. So that's all from my side. Thank you very much, and if you have any question, I'm happy to answer them.
Thank you, Andre. Good to hear what's been going on over there. As always, you guys are fully and heavily engaged in the DNSSEC realm, and we really do appreciate that and appreciate the support you've done. And next up is Christian Hesselman, and he's going to give us some insight into what's going on from an SIDN perspective and wet our whistles for his later presentation also.
Yeah. Thank you, Russ. So the slide is really small, so I'm just going to talk a little bit. So don't try to read the slide because I think that's impossible. So I'm with SIDN. We're the registry for .nl, the Netherlands, which is a country in the eastern part of Europe. Western part, sorry. I couldn't read from this distance. And we currently have about 5.6 million domain names in our registry and 2.4 million of those have been signed, as Dan already pointed out just a few minutes ago. Andre mentioned that we kind of beat the check with the in numbers of signings, but actually the check beat us in terms of validation, actual validation, because that's our major. So we need to talk later on, by the way. That's the major challenge that we have right now at SIDN, which is how can we stimulate validation, because we know that almost none of the ISPs in the Netherlands have validating resolvers in their production environments. So this is our major challenge. And another challenge that we recently ran into is that we heard that a number of ISPs in the Netherlands are actually outsourcing their DNS operations to third parties, to Wuai, for example, which is a Chinese company, as you know. But this makes the ecosystem even more complex and difficult to find out who to talk to. And that's something that we've been doing actually for quite a while, talking to ISPs, and we have not made any progress there, to be honest. So our currently, what I would like to do today is to at least ask everyone in the audience if they have any, radical ideas on how to stimulate validation, because to be quite honest, we kind of ran out of options on our end. We did take a few actions to stimulate validation ourselves, and I'll be talking about that in the afternoon. But we currently think that, at least in the Netherlands, ISPs are, unlikely to make a move in terms of DNSSEC validation anytime soon. So, like I said, we're looking for, new and radical approaches to stimulate validation. And the things that we can do, they can only contribute so much because we only control part of the value chain, if you will. So that's my main message here today. If you have any ideas on how to do this, then I would be very glad to hear it. And I think we're a bunch of smart people in this room, so money. Well, the thing is that we don't have a business relationship with the ISPs. Our business relationship is with the registrars. And we did throw a lot of money at it in that we gave them a discount over the past few years. They would, you know, sign their domain names, which they did. So this is actually we achieved these 2.4 million domain names. Getting them signed was a real collaborative effort together with our registrars. So the signing part is not really the problem. The problem is the ISPs, and we don't have a business relationship with them. And also, we know that it's difficult to, as you are probably aware of yourselves, it's difficult to explain why you would need DNSSEC or DNSSEC validation in the first place to the common user, the common internet user, right? Folks usually don't see anything in their browser unless they install the plugins that the Czech folks developed. And another thing that we thought was like, okay, we don't really know how much. How often man-in-the-middle attacks occur that DNSSEC aims to solve, right? If we would have more numbers on that, so if we could actually demonstrate, okay, this occurs, 20% of the time or 1% of the time or something like that, just getting numbers on that, on how often these attacks occur, that would probably also help. Now ISPs don't want to do it because they think that it will cost them money instead of bringing them money. They're simply afraid of the, at least in the Netherlands, again, this is our situation locally. In the Netherlands, the ISPs are simply afraid of getting support calls all the time. Because validation breaks, for example, because there is a signing error somewhere. And let's say a domain name does not, in that case, a domain name might not validate on their validating resolver, whereas it would work on the network of their competitor who doesn't validate. Right? So that's their fear.
So I think Andre may want to comment here.
Yeah, honestly, it's really a tough job, but we came with two things that help it a lot. You know, first of all, because exactly the ISPs in the Czech Republic had the same fear that we will have troubles with broken signatures, bogus signatures. So what we did, we created a tool that goes through all zone every day and checks all the signed domains. And if there's something, some bogus domain, there are two possible reactions. Either we just delete the DS record if we know that this belongs to some ISP, which is also some registrar or some DNS provider that is not cooperative with us, and just inform them that it was broken and it was deleted. It has to be bogus for a certain time, of course, not immediately. Mm-hmm. Or if it's a registrar that has very close relationship with us, we just have some channel how to inform him. And again, they can say, either we will fix it or please delete the DS records for us. And also during the transfer, by default, if there's a change of DNS, by default, we'll delete DS records. So if you want to change DNS servers and you want to continue to be signed, you have to explicitly, again, put the DS records into the system. So if there's just change of DNS servers, we deleted. So that's the first thing, just to try to limit the number of bogus domains as low as possible. And second thing, we created sort of prestige club of ISPs, which is called Phoenix. It's associated with our Prague Exchange Point. And to be able to join this club and to be able to variable rent trustworthy provider, you need to validate and you need to support DNSSEC on your web pages and stuff like that. So we sort of created security as a prestige thing, and those, you know, companies are joining the club and because they wanna be better than the others. So that how it worked in Czech Republic.
That's actually quite a big similarity to how things work in the Netherlands, because we also have this tool that you talked about. I'll be saying a few words about that in the afternoon. And we also have the check mark when you transfer a domain name. We also have even implemented secure transfers through EPP key relay, so that also works. And we also have this, what you call Project Phoenix, I think. That's in the Netherlands, that's called the Trusted Networks Initiative. So that's very similar, except that the Trusted Networks Initiative, it does not have the requirement for members to turn on validation. And that might actually be a good idea.
Well, thank you, Christian and Andre. This is great, having an exchange between the leading country with the most signed zones and the leading country with the most validation.
We should join up.
Thank you. Okay. And Next up, we have Peter Jansen from .eu, and he's going to let us know what's going on there. Thank you.
Thank you, Russ. Good morning. My name is Peter Jansen. I'm with UIRT, UIRT being the .eu registry. I used to say we're a young registry. We only exist 10 years, but of course, new GTLD program, young becomes very relative all of a sudden again. So nevertheless, if you compare us with the existing CCTLDs, of most of the existing CCTLDs, we're relatively young, as I said, 10 years, while all the other CCTLDs... Slide, please. Obviously, we cover Europe, or actually the European Union, which is not exactly the same thing, but it's almost the whole of Europe. So we sort of piggyback on all these fantastic initiatives and things that have been done by, amongst others, the Czechs, the Dutch, the Swedish registry, because a lot of registrars that actually are a registrar with the .se, .nl, or .cz registry actually are also registrars with us and register .eu domain name. So by definition, we sort of benefit from all these things. Bit about the timeline. We started accepting DNS key material in June 2010. We made it into the root with our DS records in September of that same year. And if you look at May 2014, which is it's a bit more than a year ago, we had 6.9, if I can read correctly here, of the .eu domain name space, let's call it like that, had been signed. And this year, October 2015, that rises or has risen to 9%. Next slide, please. What are the vectors, let's call it like that, which play in this space, in the DNSSEC adoption space? In the center, you have registrars. On the right side, you have all the issues that registrars bring up as being an issue when they want to deploy or when they are asked to deploy DNSSEC hardware, software, complexity of the solutions. Procedures need to be in place because it used to be, you know, if you wouldn't touch a DNS zone for 10 years, it wasn't working for 10 years. Now, in this world where the zone is DNSSEC signed, if you don't touch it for 10 years, most probably it won't be working anymore 10 years down the lane. On the other hand, on the far left, you find the end users, which have mostly no clue about what DNS is, and really they really shouldn't be caring anyway. They just want their internet to work, and they want to have a secure environment if they think about it. But no end user is explicitly asking for, hey, I want my domain name, or I want my resolver to validate, or whatever. So what have we been doing in the past? We have been doing, you know, I think what most of the other registries have been doing, have been doing DNSSEC workshops to spread the word what DNSSEC is, why it is a good thing, e-learning and training. Like Christian said as well, we have been doing a DNSSEC discount. And if you take the next slide, there is a... next slide. Thank you. There is a timeline of signed domain names, and where about the cursor is, a bit to the left, you see this steep going up. That's where we, a bit before, announced that we would be giving a DNSSEC discount, and as with the .nl registry, we have seen that money talks, in the sense that we have been giving out or giving back money to registrars. They would indeed be signing their domain names. So for each signed domain name, they get a little discount on the yearly renewal fee, and as you can see, it works. And the little things going up now and then is actually a registrar getting it and signing his complete zone, and then you see from one day and the other actually this little jump up because they have signed all the IPs. Right, I was trying... what is this? This is the percentage of the domain names in registrar's portfolio that is signed. So on the far right, the little label there says 0%, and on the y-axis you see that 80% of all registrars has exactly zero signed domain names. Said differently, the majority of all registrars are not doing anything in the DNSSEC world. Then we take out the two right ones to bring a bit more perspective in this slide. On the far left, you see... I think it's 99 to 90%, and then 89 to 80%, and so on. So you see that there are quite a few of registrars that actually sign their complete portfolio, but most of them are either doing nothing at all or have done one or two domain names to actually, you know, see if it works, and then it sort of stopped there, presumably because they had either priorities, no end-user demand, no money to be made, or any combination of the above. Slide, please. Interesting, this, as I said, we piggyback on the other registries that have been doing a lot of work. What you see here is bringing all the registrars together per country and seeing how many domain names they actually have signed and percentage-wise. And then you see on the far left, I think it was Denmark, if I remember correctly, but sorry, I can't read it anymore. But what you will, or I can't read it from here in any case, what you will see is that the typical suspects, the Dutch registrar, the Czech registrars, will be there with the majority of signed domain names. Again, why? Because these registries have been doing a lot of effort, and we're piggybacking on that result. If the country is not on this slide, then there is not a single registrar in that country that actually has done anything in terms of DNSSEC. Next slide, please. So lastly, I would say we have about 3.85 million domain names, 348,000 assigned, as said on the first slide, that's 9%. If all registrars who have done something would actually sign their complete portfolio, that would boil down to some 920,000 domain names that would get signed, resulting in a roughly 1 on 3 .eu domain names that would get signed. We're talking to registrars, we're asking, you know, you have done some of the work, you seem to be getting it, why aren't you doing the rest? And we get very mixed answers from, I don't know, to all the way like, yeah, it's not a priority for us for the moment because we have other things to do. And it sort of, I think, boils down to what Christian also has said is, you know, if an end user gets an email and he clicks on the link and it looks like eBay, then it must be eBay. DNSSEC is not going to solve that in any which way. So as far as that is concerned, I think there are a lot of vectors of attack that are being used in the world that make people go to the wrong sites where DNSSEC is not a solution. So registrars are if they're doing something, they're concentrating on getting other things done than this. And that's, I think, the last slide. Next slide. Yes. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Peter. Interesting report, and we can have some more questions later on. And now I think we'll move to the next Peter on our panel, who has, through the gracious generosity of coming, being the best attired person in the room with his necktie and his sunglasses as appropriate. I'd like to ask Peter Huck from the DNIC to give us insight as to what's happening there.
Yeah, thank you, Russ. Good morning, everyone. My name is Peter Koch. As Russ said, I work for DNIC, the top-level domain registry for DE. We currently have roughly 16 million second-level domains registered in our portfolio, and I'm going through some of the numbers, and I'm going to show you, next slide, please. I'm going to show you what we've been doing in DE, which is not only the top-level domain, but also the country. So we had a DNSSEC day in end of June that was announced during the previous ICANN meeting. So this is the original announcement. Actually, if you look to the right, you see that I'm cheating. The screenshot was taken a bit later than that because there are interesting other articles to the right, like the summary of this event. So we got a media partner and some other enthusiasts, which I will list on one of the slides following up. The idea was, actually it was born in 2014 already, and we came together and said, let's do something about promoting DNSSEC and Dane a bit. What's the best format? And with a bit of back and forth, we came up with a half a day of video streaming to address, or starting at noon, covering the afternoon, so we could reach people in their offices and also at home. The 4 hours were like three tracks with a bit of repetition. So we had a frame program that contained canned video streams that were pre-produced. And then we had a kind of a panel discussion with four people in an interesting video room. Picking out certain topics, addressing the authoritative side, the resolver and validating side, and then some technology topics. So if it had been a TV program or a radio program, we could have had an interesting schedule. Apparently, we had, whatever that means, like 500-ish video impressions. That's maybe 500 people looking in or 500 consumers with rooms full of another 1,000 people, but just dreaming. Anyway, so this is the original announcement. Next slide, please. Then we got some international echo. Dan York was kind enough to mention this on the ISOC website. And of course, it's all in German. Please note the DNSSEC day, which is an interesting German word. And we started publishing this, or the media partner actually, and then the other partners issuing press releases started publishing that like 3 or 4 weeks in advance. It was accompanied by a couple of background articles in the print version of the media's the media partners' publications. And that were like dated versions of previously issued DNSSEC articles. Again, addressing beginners, addressing more advanced, and then also promoting and explaining DANE to a certain extent. And then, next slide, please. It was a bit interesting because, of course, there are more media magazines that deal with internet topics in Germany, but they all kept quiet, and they obviously ignored the press releases because, yeah, there was the other, the prime magazine involved. But at the morning of the event, we got some additional attention. So you can see the headline, and that actually means DNSSEC is a total failure, which is attention-wise the best that could happen. The article, and if you really have much better eyes than I do, you will see that above the DNSSEC is gescheitert, is a total failure, there is an IMHO, which is German for, in my humble opinion. So this is a commentary. This is a comment, and it's, of course, biased, and it was biased to the right direction, I would say. Listing all of the drawbacks and myths and failures and so on and so forth, and all the criticism that has been voiced against DNSSEC, and it was kind of easy to react to that, and we were prepared to like wave this into the discussions, and we were grateful for all these keywords being placed in front of us. Not that we didn't have a script, but that was kind of helpful, and raised some attention. It was interesting to see that both of the media had web fora with discussions, and much of the discussion happened in this other medium here, and was actually telling the author that, yeah, he was so wrong and everything was fine. I wish the numbers would talk the same language, but let's get there. So who was involved? Now I need to look at my own slides here because I said my glasses are broken. So it was the Heise magazine that is probably known outside Germany as well. It was the Federal Institute for Information Security, the top-level domain registry, and some, I've named them DANE practitioners here. Many of you may know Carsten Strothmann from Men and Mice and Patrick Kötter, who is one of the key people behind DANE deployment in Germany. And we've been sitting together doing the panel discussion moderated by one of the editors of the online magazine. So we got questions injected also by people listening to the stream. And as I said, a couple of the myths that were there, like, oh, DNSSEC is bad because it's all 1024 RSA and that's broken and so on and so forth. But there were also some interesting operational issues that I think we could address on my next slide. Don't go there. I'll show you who is actually doing DNSSEC. And we've heard from the previous speakers that mostly registrars are active in doing DNSSEC, like signing their portfolio in part or completely. And that means that one of the main reasons behind the KSK-ZSK split, that you don't want the interaction with a parent, i.e. the registry, or you want to limit that, is probably not really met by reality as of today. So whenever a registrar is signing their portfolio, and that probably also holds for resellers, they should really consider having a single type signing scheme to avoid. The other one is going to the same direction. All these fancy rollovers that we did, one of the main reasons behind regular rollover was actually practice, so that people involved would know how it works. But as people are lazy, everybody came up with a software product and now uses software products to do the rollover automated. That is like you buy extremely expensive running shoes, and then when you take them on and you decide that, well, running in the morning is really boring, so you hire a student to do the exercise for you. And this is actually what's happening with regular key rollovers. That's what's happening with the regular key rollovers, and another interesting point to address. Anyway, next slide, please. So here are the numbers in 2015, and you see that actually we got from remarkable 20,000 to roughly 40,000 in 1.5 days around 30th of June, exactly that date. So there was an impact, which is great. Actually, 40,000 out of 16 million is roughly 3 in 1,000. So I'm not going to compete with anybody who was on the panel here, but actually you can see the impact, maybe with some looking glass. But anyway, next slide, please. This is the overall development since we started, which is 2011. You see a growth there in 2012, and thanks to our Dutch colleagues and their initiative to convince Dutch registrars to sign everything, we have the first step, and then the second far to the right in June is the one that you saw on the previous slide. Next slide, please. We do have a gray. Oh, that doesn't really show very well. So above the green, there is a shady gray area. And that's another 25% on top of those who are registered. 25% on top are signed but not yet registered. So we do have shy registrars and shy resellers. In part, this is natural because people sign first and then register after some testing. So it's not always the same 25% not signed, but something that needs a bit more investigation. Next slide, please. So who does this? Consistent with what the previous speaker said, mostly registrars doing a full service, maybe not even involving the customer. Sometimes resellers do this, and the change we noticed is that it was smaller resellers previously, like 50 to 100 domains, and now we see registrars in the 3 to 4 digit range. Big step on 30th of June actually was a single registrar signing all their so and so many thousand domains. The rest is geeks, some security-aware companies, rarely banks, though. There's one German bank and PayPal who are signing stuff. And most importantly, I guess, in our community, email providers promoting Dane for email confidentiality. And that's my final slide, I guess. What else did happen, or what did we do as a registry? We added support for Elliptic Curve Crypto, and we're going to hear about that later from Roland and maybe from Olafur. So we do support Ghost Crypto, and ECDSA, both the NIST curves that are defined, which is all current non-deprecated ITF find algorithms. Why do we why do we have to support this as a registry? Well, we do cautious pre-delegation check for accepting stuff for publication as DS record. We are not believing that this is ready for prime time for ourselves, and we don't recommend using ECC at the moment, given the validation situation, but I guess we can discuss that later. And that's basically it. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter.
Peter, I'd just like to say thank you for talking about that DNSSEC Day. It was an interesting initiative, and I commend you on it. Speaking German, I did tune in and listen for a while, and it was quite good to see. So thank you for doing that and for reporting back here.
Okay. Again, thank you, Peter. And well, we were going to wait till the end for the questions. Is this specific for...
It's regarding .de.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes, Markus Frege from Global Village, a registrar based in Germany and also a DNIC member. And, well, not to rain on Peter's parade here, but DNIC, you may know, is membership-driven, and I tried to start a discussion if the German membership would be interested in doing something similar to what the EU, NL, and ZZ does, namely having a discount for DNSSEC domains, and it was turned down. And what also became apparent is that the two dominant registrars in Germany, which have far more than 50% of the market, are not interested in doing DNSSEC. So I'm afraid we're not going to see anything significant in .de anytime soon.
Okay. Peter, did
so
you
want to... May I just react? I'm so proud I wear a tie today. So as Marcus rightfully said, this is membership-driven, and the... financial structure and the governance structure behind that suggests, after thorough deliberation, I would say, that doing the discounts would be counterproductive in a way, as in who would be benefiting the most. One thing to keep in mind is that to make a discount an incentive, your prices have to be at a certain level. Yeah, I guess our prices are far below that level.
What I heard is DS so cheap, it doesn't make sense to do any discount.
Yeah, that was the bottom line. The ranges where it actually makes a difference, discounting the domain prices, and in brackets, since we are a non-for-profit, and eventually every cent or euro that you don't spend, your fellow registrars have to pay, right? So the range where it would make a difference is probably beyond the 100 or 500,000 domain range. But we can talk offline afterwards anyway. Thank you for raising this.
Okay, thank you very much. Now let's move on to Vincent. And every time I try to pronounce Vincent's last name, and he has kindly presented for us before, I mangle it terribly, so I'll just introduce Vincent from AFNIC. Thank you.
Thank you. So my name is Vincent Le Vigneron. I know it's not very easy to pronounce. That's why I prefer to pronounce it myself. So I work for AFNIC, and the purpose of this short presentation is to show you where we were when we started with DNSSEC and when we are now. Next slide, please. We started DNSSEC in 2010, like many of you, I guess, when the route was signed. And we proposed DS registration in 2011. At the beginning, we had six ccTLDs which were signed, and we used only three HSMs, AEP Keeper HSMs, which were all in the same facility. We had one for the production system, one for the sandbox, and one only for development purposes. And we used an uncommon configuration with a mix of NSX3 opt-out and dynamic updates. We also use OpenDNSSEC. We had one instance of OpenDNSSEC for key management, and we use a bind to sign the zones. We had a unique and static salt. I use baseball because I am a baseball player, so it was funny for me. And we did the key ceremonies manually. It took a lot of time, and sometimes it failed. We had one key ceremony per year because we generate the keys for 1 year. And we had very, very few signed records in zone files. Next slide, please. But today, while we still operate our six historical ccTLDs, we also operate 15 gTLDs. And we have about 20 HSMs, which are distributed in three different locations, and some are just dedicated for our disaster recovery plans. Our HSMs are still AEP keepers. We continue with them because it works fine for us. We have 16 independent OpenDNSSEC instances, and now the SALT is no longer a static one. We roll over it once a week, and we have a unique one for all gTLDs and ccTLDs. We do about 120 ZSK rollover per year, and we had only six KSK rollover since 2010, but there will be six new ones in the next months. The key ceremonies are mainly automatized now, and with more than 3 million domain names, about 10% are signed. In fact, it varies from one TLD to another. For some TLDs, we have only one zone signed. For some, we have more than 250,000 zones signed, and it varies from 1% to almost 50%. Slide, please. As some of you perhaps know, AAK and SMK management can be cumbersome. That's why we decided to have the same AAK for all HSMs, which means the same operator and security officer can operate on all HSMs. And we mainly use two SMK because we use a load balancing tool. We have one for our gTLDs and one for our ccTLDs. In fact, HSMs are not dedicated. Some can host only one TLD, but others can host eight TLDs. And each TLD uses two load balanced HSMs and one other for the disaster recovery plan. We cannot mix HSMs used for GTLDs with the one used for CCTLDs. It's just a choice because we have different SMKs. We could be, of course, it's not possible, but with our automatized system, it's not possible. For those of you who use AEP Keeper, you know there are only 32 sessions per HSM, and we need to have more than one session per for some TLDs. So this resource becomes critical. We still have resources left, but if we need more performances and if we add more TLDs, it's something we need to care to have enough sessions left. And HSM battery should be changed, and we need a plan because we have many HSM to maintain. Slide, please. We have automatized many things with DNSSEC, and we have Terra script that has been written in order to support key ceremony process. And now the key ceremony only takes 30 minutes. It took hours before, but now it's very fast. It's done in our main facility. We don't need to go in our data centers because we use a load balancer, and we don't need to access to HSM, which are on data centers. And we have HSM, which is dedicated only for ceremonies. And, of course, for security reasons, we still need humans to set HSM online and backup keys on smart cards. And we also implemented a complete rollback because it's something that it's not a feature that doesn't exist in OpenDNSSEC and in HSM. So we can do a complete rollback of a ceremony if something fails. It happens only once, but with that feature, it's not an issue for us. Next slide, please. We do many, many ceremonies. We need to have a key ceremony per TLD per year, and we have scheduled that to have at least one key ceremony per month. And with nine operator and nine security officers, these are the same people. They share the roles, in fact. And we have two special operators who operate the scripts with also three master of ceremonies, and they change every month. So everybody is involved at least two times a year. This is very important to train people because key ceremonies can be a little stressful. So if you practice them all the time, it becomes something very easy to do. And we back up on smart cards, the new keys we just created, and we just need one smart card per TLD. Because we just back up the new keys, not the whole bunch of keys on the HSM. Slide, please. Our future plans is, of course, again, to improve our script, because there are never enough checks in scripts, so we need to add new securities in our scripts. Because we use only them, there is no more manual operation, so we need good scripts. We need to work on a battery maintenance plan, because if you had to maintain the B on the HSM, you need to send back the HSM to AEP Keeper. So, of course, when the HSM is not here, you can have a problem. We need to add a centralized control system for all OpenDNSSEC and HSMs. It's something which is partly done, but it's not completely finished. And we also need to improve our alert system in case of key exhaustion. Next slide, please. We also had other actions for DNSSEC. We have for 4 years, we have a DNSSEC training program with a company called HSC. When we provide 2 days training, it's successful. And we also have a short session called DNSSEC How-To. It's just 1 day session when we practice a lot with people that go to the training course. We had one last week with about 15 people, and it was a success. We try to demystify DNSSEC. And we just launched our third DNSSEC promotion plan with discount for SangZone. Next slide, please. And I guess this is the last one. Thank you.
Excellent, Vincent. Thank you.
We really appreciate the feedback on the progress you folks have made. It's really been significant, and you have been willing to come and contribute and tell us what you've been up to several times. And I want to also acknowledge the earlier times when you all were here talking about the challenges that you had, and you were very open and willing to share the problems you encountered. So it's very wonderful to see the progress and how so much has moved forward, and it's really smoothed out, especially from an operational perspective now. That's great. So next we have Sarah Montero from .pt, and she's going to tell us what's happening there. Sarah?
Hello. I'm Sara Monteiro, and I'm here to give you an update on DNSSEC status in the CCTLD of Portugal.pt. We have considered some questions that the program committee has sent us, and we will try to answer them in the first. So, yes, we are indeed interested to report on DNSSEC validation, but like Netherlands, DNSSEC validation is not non-existent. So we don't know why. maybe lack of motivation. How to motivate them is the same question that we have. Money is always the answer, but we prefer to try probably making friendships, connections, and find something that is not money involved that both of us and the community could benefit. So, next slide. What can DNSSEC do for us? I think for .pt, we think in the Portuguese community, so we are trying to provide a more secure DNS service. We are trying to help our community to adopt and use DNSSEC. We held and we host trainings since 2009, so and we are still hosting them. We think that we being ahead on the technology curve will be the best way to be, and we try to do it by best efforts and doing best practice, so to make the internet more secure, safer, reliable, and this way our customers can feel more satisfied and secure on the internet. So what doesn't do? Okay, does not make us richer because it's free. is not simple, so does not simplify the DNS, and it does not make our work easier. But we are tough, and we know that DNSSEC chain. We know that DNSSEC chain is complete, but it doesn't work properly without our ESP support. So we really need to pursue them. Okay. The internal trade-offs to implementing DNSSEC in .pt, we felt that we were among the first TLDs implementing it, so we feel proud and that we are doing our job. I think the cooperation and partnership among peers is essential because we wouldn't do it without other CCTLDs and TLDs help, and we are trying to give our experience to other CCTLDs as well. So what did we learn in this path? As I said before, the cooperation and partnership is essential, and we value that. I believe that hard work, don't give up, have faith that it will work out eventually. It's the main goal with DNSSEC. And and that the we believe that the work that we do is for a good purpose. So to be persistent and patient, it's our team. Next. So some.pt data, right now we this chart is not updated to this day, so I can tell you that we have 2,000 domains with DNSSEC right now. And since we have around 260,000 .pt domains active, we have a percentage of 5% of .pt domains signed with DNSSEC. 5%, it's good, but it's not the biggest number here. I think it's the smaller of this panel. So we believe that we know that we achieved this number because our second largest TSP registrar implemented DNSSEC by default. So that was a good way. We hope the first one, the first largest one, will follow his steps. But we maybe in sometime soon, we don't know, we can try to persuade them with also DNSSEC discounts or something like that, but we didn't apply anything besides trying to show them that this is useful and they should. We believe that new people bring new ideas, so we have submitted a proposal for a master thesis related to DNSSEC solutions in one of the main Portuguese universities. So we'll be having a student that is going to collaborate with us, studying new approaches and analyzing the best solutions to prevent DNSSEC. Maybe you will be original and trying to find something that we are not seeing. We hope so. Next slide. About cooperation and partnership, we are trying to help other, as I said before, other CCTLDs by passing them our knowledge and experience. We recently created a Portuguese language CCTLD association. It's called LUSNIC. You can find more about it in the LUSNIC website. So for these three CCTLDs that are here mentioned, they are from Africa. And concerning the .GW, is the CCTLD for Guinea-Bissau, we are helping to manage this CCTLD. So they don't have the infrastructure, the knowledge, the means. So it's being hosted and being operated with us. So we, as it's easy for us, we signed this CCTLD, but this record is not in the root zone yet, so maybe it will be one more. The only question is when we pass out the operation and measurement to them, if they will be able to sustain it. So we are trying to train them to be able to do that. Considering to .cv, Cape Verde, we are working with them since 2010. And we give them training, and we believe that they have all the means to sign with DNSSEC. We are just hoping to have a green light and help them to do it. Considering to Angola AO, they are not as evolved as the others, so we recently hosted a DNS and DNSSEC workshop to some local engineers this September, and we hope they will improve their domain name skills management workshop, and maybe further on we will help them more. So that's it. Thank you very much for your time and listening.
Thank you, Sarah. That's great to see some of your initiatives there. They indeed are some things that I had not heard about or seen elsewhere, and the incorporation or grouping together of the Portuguese language countries is a great idea. Signing and running their zones when you can, that's wonderful. Okay, so our final panelist here is the person whose last name is even more challenging than for me than Vincent. But I know Roland as Roland from SurfNet, and I gave up even trying to pronounce his last name a few years ago. So Roland, please proceed and tell us what you're up to there.
Okay, thank you. So my name is Roland van Rijswijk. I'll pronounce it properly. And actually, my full name is Roland van Rijswijk Dij since I got married. So it's a very, very long name. And I won't torture anyone with pronouncing that. So my talk is going to be about the use of elliptic curve cryptography in DNSSEC. And I have one more slides than some of the other folks, so I hope you'll bear with me. Also, some of you will be more familiar with what I'm discussing than others, and I've tried to strike a balance. So I hope I'm not boring the knowledgeable people, and I hope I have some sort of entry-level information for the people that know less about this. So what we did is there's been some talk about using elliptic curve cryptography in DNSSEC for a couple of years, and it kind of started gaining some momentum when the nice folks from Cloudflare, who will be presenting today later in this session, announced that they were going to do a DNSSEC at some point and that they were going to do this using ECC. And what we decided to do, together with the University of Twente, where I'm also a researcher, is to see if, based on some measurements, we could make a case for ECC and DNSSEC and what that case would look like. So how does it improve the situation compared to what we have now? Next slide. So DNSSEC deployment has taken off better in some places than in others, but for instance, in the Netherlands, it's taken off quite well. But there are still operational issues, and these are already well-known. Issues with fragmentation, amplification, and complex key management, as Peter mentioned in his talk. And we believe that the root cause of many of these problems is the fact that most of DNSSEC exclusively uses the RSA crypto system. Use of elliptic curves was standardized in an RFC in 2012, but it has seen very little use until today. Next slide, please. So just to briefly touch on the existing issues, fragmentation. This is a well-known problem. Up to 10% of resolvers may not be able to receive fragmented responses. There are solutions available. You can set your authoritative name server to only send minimal responses. The fallback behavior in DNS resolver software has improved hugely over the years because of this, particularly because of this issue. And the RFC that describes eDNS0, which is the base protocol that DNSSEC is based on, the phrasing in that was made much stricter in the updated version 6.8.9.1, particularly to address this problem. Next slide, please. So to give you an idea of what setting minimal responses does for you, this is a graph from a couple of years ago from one of SurfNet's name servers. And the if you look at the top graph, the blue line, that drops steeply, and that is the decrease in average response size achieved by turning on minimal responses, and it dropped from somewhere around 800-900 bytes on average to about 150 bytes on average, which is perfectly acceptable. Fragmentation still occurs. The bottom graph, and I guess it's a little bit hard to see on this screen, but this is a graph for the past month. And I made this slide before I went on holiday, so this is for most of September. And as you can see, there's a steady background noise of answers that are still getting fragmented, and that means that they are over 1,500 bytes in size. And around about 0.1% of V6 response get fragmented, and around about 0.2% of V4 responses get fragmented. Next slide, please. The other issue with DNSSEC, and this has been pointed out by many, many, many critics, and I'm sure the people that celebrated DNSSEC Day complained about this, DNSSEC is a potent amplifier. You can use it to achieve DDoS attacks. And in a study we performed last year, we looked at around about 70% of signed domains globally and measured the amplification impact that they could have. Because this buzz was going on, this has been discussed for years, but there was very little ground truth. Nobody actually bothered to measure what the effect was. So we decided to do that. And what you can see in this graph on the left-hand side is a representative sample of unsigned domains. So these are about 2.5 million domain names for which we measured the amplification for the any query. And as you can see, that's somewhere around about a factor of 5. So that's the amplification of that is pretty negligible. On the other hand, all the DNSSEC signed domains we measured where we send an any query, all of them achieve T-high amplification levels between a factor of 40 and 60. And we set sort of a theoretical upper limit for amplification in this study, which was what you could achieve if you had a classic DNS answer that was packed to the limit of 512 bytes. And as you can see, all the DNSSEC signed domains exceed that by far. Next slide, please. Now, there's been some discussion about deprecating any queries, and Olafur has a draft circulating in the ITF about that, and I think it is a good idea because any we once introduced that for debugging purposes, it gets abused by some pieces of software, which I shall not mention. But in DNSSEC, of course, we cannot suppress DNS key queries because they're essential to the protocol. And what we found in the measurement study that we performed is that about 40% of DNS key responses exceed our maximum upper limit that we set for fragmentation, so also for amplification, what you could achieve if you were to use classic DNS. So even if we were to deprecate any queries, you could still achieve significant amplification by sending lots of DNS key queries, which would be bad. Next slide, please. Now, the root cause of this, we believe, is RSA, because RSA keys are large, right? A 1024-bit key gives you 128-bit signatures, 132-byte DNS key records, and 2048-bit keys, which are often used for key signing keys, are even worse. Also, the cryptographic properties of RSA are such that if you want to strike a balance between signature size and key strength, you end up having a split key scheme where you have a KSK and a ZSK, because your KSK invariably is going to be 2048 bits because it needs cryptographic strength because you don't roll it all the time, and your zone signing key you want to keep small because you don't want to have huge signatures all over zone. And that means that it's going to be very hard to migrate to something like a combined signing key scheme where you have a single key. You could argue that you could go for a key size that is in between the two, but for some bizarre reason, people seem to think that RSA keys only come in increments of factors of two. There's more information about this particular topic in the paper. So, ECC to the rescue, right? Elliptic curve crypto has much smaller keys, much smaller signatures, and the key strength is better. So, good news all over the board. Elliptic curve crypto with a 256-bit group size is roughly equivalent to 3072-bit RSA. And two elliptic curves are already standardized for use in DNSSEC. These are the two NIST curves, P256 and P384, but they are used very little in practice. 99.999%, actually there's a 9 missing on that slide, of .com, .net, and .org domains that are DNSSEC signed use RSA. Hopefully that's changed, and Olafur is probably going to tell us more about that later in the session. There is a lot of buzz around using ECC and DNSSEC. It's getting discussed on the mailing list. It's getting discussed in the ITF. It's getting discussed in this forum. So there's clearly an interest in using this. But how good is it? And there are alternative signature schemes that have even more favorable properties. For instance, the Edwards curves-based EDDSA scheme designed by Dan Bernstein from the University of Chicago University of Chicago, Illinois, something like that, and the Technical University in Eindhoven. That signature scheme has even more favorable properties for use in DNSSEC. Next slide, please. So what we did was we performed a measurement study where we wanted to quantify the impact of switching all of DNSSEC to ECC and what impact it would have on fragmentation and amplification. So we looked at all the signed domains in COMNET and ORG, and we studied a couple of scenarios, which were from really conservative, where we would use the strongest keys with the most conservative key sign scheme, where you have the split between KSK and ZSK, all the way to a very innovative scheme where you would be using EDDSA, so based on the curves, with a combined signing key, and to see how this would impact the problems that we mentioned before. Next slide, please. So if you look at the impact on fragmentation, this graph shows you DNS key response sizes for some of the scenarios that I mentioned before. Now, the original responses that we got by querying all these comnet and org domains is the solid black line on the right-hand side of the graph. And what you can see is that around about 10% of DNS key responses, which use RSA at this moment, exceed the minimum MTU for IPv6, and round about 2% of responses exceed the MTU for Ethernet. So that means that those responses will get fragmented. And if you remember that around about 10% of resolvers may have an issue receiving these responses, that is a problem. Now, all of the ECC-based schemes achieve DNS key response sizes that are well below these limits. And actually, if you go for the more innovative schemes where you have a combined signing key, if you use either ECDSA with curve P256, so something that you can already use today, or if you were to use the you could fit your DNS key response in a classic DNS message of 500 bytes. Next slide, please. The impact on amplification is also quite significant. First of all, if you look at the any query, then still you can achieve quite a bit of amplification, but it is much less than you would be able to achieve with the RSA signed domains that are operated today. Next slide, please. And then if you look at the one that we cannot remedy in a simple way, which is the amplification of the DNS key query, there it's even better. Because they're switching to even the most conservative ECDSA-based scheme, which is to use the big curve P384, would give you an amplification way below what we set as an acceptable upper limit. Next slide. We also looked at the A and quad A responses for these particular comnet and org domains, where we queried the APEX domain, www, and mail. And if we were to switch to ECDSA P256, which is available today, then all of the A and quad A responses that we got back from these domains would fit in a class. Next slide, please. So the conclusion is that switching to ECC is highly beneficial, tackles major issues in DNSSEC. It can also give you simpler key management, for which I would refer you to the paper, which I've tweeted a link to the preprint version of that. So if you're interested in that, look on Twitter. But there's one thing that we need to deal with, which is the impact on DNS resolvers. So ECC validation speeds are up to an order of magnitude slower than RSA. And there have been some improvements in this space, but still ECC is slower to validate than RSA. And we were unsure whether that was going to be a problem. So I had a student look at that over the past couple of months. He is graduating today, so I'm not going to present his... tomorrow. That's why I have to fly back tonight. So I'm not going to be presenting his work, but the bottom line is all the modeling and simulations that we did show that even though ECC is slower to validate than RSA, that is not going to be an issue with the current state of DNSSEC deployment, but it would not even be a problem if everybody adopted DNSSEC everywhere. So really there is no reason not to switch to ECC. Next slide, please. That's the same. No, one more slide. Yes, so I wrote a paper about this for the ACM Computer Communication Review. That is available, I'm not sure whether it's available free of charge, but there's a preprint version on my homepage, and I tweeted a link to that, and I'll send a link to the organizers of the session so they can share it with you. And again, I have a student graduating tomorrow, and you can expect another paper pretty soon, which will summarize his research. And that was it for me. Thank you for your attention.
Great. Thank you, Roland. As always, doing very progressive and interesting work there. Now, we have a little less than 10 minutes for questions. Yes, right.
I apologize. I thought you were going to the next presentation. That's why I said, but you said we have some questions time. So
then start the questions.
Okay, my name is Roy Adams for ICANN. Great presentation, thank you. I love this stuff. I would like to ask the audience and any of the folks here who are associated with level domain, if they can comment on plans to deploy using elliptic curve cryptography instead of RSA.
Peter, go ahead.
Well, we don't have firm plans yet, but since we are in the process of purchasing new HSMs, elliptic curve support is mandatory, and we've also claimed interest in ED25519 for some of the operational properties that we think might be interesting, no need for an entropy source and stuff like that. That's probably too this discussion, but we can go ahead. The bottom line is we want to be able to have a system that can sign independently, and we can merge the zones, so we can rely upon the fact that signatures are generated equally everywhere, and the crypto that we have there doesn't really provide for that. Another difficulty is still algorithm rollover. We want that to have settled before we move. And while elliptic curve is very interesting, everybody has seen that RSA can be scaled in strength by just changing the key size. Changing the key size with ECC means changing the algorithm, and that again gives you an algorithm rollover. So that's a bit more complicated. In the medium to long term, we'd really love to go to ECC. We want to see the validation site clarified and these operational issues. And we are well aware of the fact that we are pushing the loads to the edges, to the validation systems, and that needs to be taken into account.
Ron, go ahead.
Yeah. Just to comment on that, because Peter mentioned the ED 25519 scheme as well. There are already drafts circulating in the ITSO. Andre Suri from CZ.NIC is, I think, leading a draft there. There are also drafts for newer variants based on the same elliptic curve schemes that have bigger group sizes and are thus cryptographically stronger, but of course give you bigger signatures as well.
Yeah, I was just going to say thank you for bringing this. One of the questions, and I think I see somebody at the mic who may talk about some of this. In the last session, I'd given a presentation on some of the barriers that we have for deployment of this, one of which is what you identified around the validation side. And I guess the researcher that you talked about, did they look into more on the validation results or what's going on there? Is that...
Yes. So to give you a little bit of an idea of what we had him do was that what we wanted to know was how many signature validations you have to do on a validating resolver, because that basically is going to determine your CPU load if your CPU load increases because of the crypto algorithm you use. So what he did was he created a model that allows you to predict how many signature validations your resolver has to do. And then simply you measure how well the algorithm that you want to change to performs, and then you can calculate where the cutoff point is going to be. And that's actually what he did. And we then put different scenarios into that model, which was to take the current deployment scenario and then to grow that to what if all popular domains decide to sign and they use this algorithm, or what if all domains decide to sign and they use this algorithm, what is the impact going to be on the CPU load of your resolver?
Well, thank you for that. I'll be curious to see more of that research, because I believe that we do need to move to using these curves. So I'm for a number of reasons, so I'm looking forward to more of that, and I think we can probably pass it to Jeff to talk about what I think he's going to talk about.
Yes, Jeff is, I think, the next one in our mic line here, unless any other TLD operators wanted to respond to Roy. Jeff?
Right, Jeff Houston, APNIC. We've actually been measuring validators and their capability to actually validate in RSA and ECDSA. We were testing protocol 13. When we did this about a year ago, we actually found that... 1 in 3 end users who used validating resolvers that were capable of doing RSA, 1 in 3 of those resolvers were incapable of validating in DSA. So you had about a 30% drop-off. Did the same test again earlier this year in March, and the number is now a little better, 1 in 5. What's going on is that there are still a lot of folk sitting behind resolvers where the OpenSSL library does not include elliptical curve. And so when it gets presented with the signature, which is elliptical curve, it simply says, I'm going to treat that as unsigned, and walks away. Now, the numbers are getting better, but it is still disappointing that you're seeing around 1 in 5 users if you went and signed with Elliptical Curve, they're not going to actually do validation on you. So realistically, that's another part of this problem about ECDSA. It seems a little bit of a problem to sort of jettison one-fifth of your population by changing protocols.
Okay, thank you, Jeff. Any of the panelists or want to respond? Oh, okay. Paul, go ahead.
Paul Vogler, Redhead. The biggest problem, I think, right now for ECC is that you cannot actually, most people cannot do an algorithm role because their software doesn't support it. So, like, for instance, a lot of people use OpenDNSSEC and it doesn't actually support an algorithm rollover. So you cannot move from RSA to ECC, just like, in fact, people cannot move from RSA SHA-1 to RSA SHA-256. So a lot of people would like to do, because then they can on-the-fly decide on between NSEC and NSEC-3. So that is one of the bigger problems. And with my vendor hat on, I can say that people tend to not move to zero versions of our operating system. So RHEL 7.0 wasn't very popular, which was sort of the first version where we introduced ECC. So hopefully that will get better soon. And also the ECC got backported to RHEL 6. So hopefully we'll see a little more deployment there. Then the next thing I want to say is the slide that has this title, RSA kills people. I would like to change it a little bit and say adding security to DNS kills people.
Andre Suri, CZing. The draft that Roland mentioned will be updated in a couple of days because Simon Josephson has updated his draft we depend upon. But we couldn't make it in to the draft cutoff time. But we hope to update it with Robert Edmonds before the Yokohama meeting. So, and we would appreciate if you could review the next version so we can move ahead and get it out as soon as possible so we are not standing here in another 3 years and speaking about how feeble the support for EDDSA is in the real resolver board.
Thanks, Andre. And yeah, let me double Andre's request there. And people, please take a look and review and send comments in so we can get progress on this area through the IETF standardization process. I think, Rick, go ahead.
I'm not going to talk any more of that topic because it's clearly very interesting to us as myself as being part of the design team for some of the KSK rollover stuff as well. So this is very interesting and very useful information. I look forward to more of that. I was going to just ask to thank some of the other speakers as well and some just specific questions for .cz. Just a clarification question. You described how your NOT resolver responded with no data instead of NX domain and minimized NSEC and stuff like that. Was that just for the IPv6 reverse lookups, or is this a kind of a general? Was that a general statement?
Yeah, I think that's just for this purpose.
Okay, good. All right, good. That made me nervous. All right. And then PKCS11, I know you're using the GNU TLS stuff. I've tried to compile some of your stuff before. Successfully. Have you tried anything with, have any of your engineers tried plugging in an HSM or a smart card and making it work? Just yes or no is good enough.
I see Andre standing, so yeah. I think he
Yes, we are working on that right now. Okay. So it should be, should be ready by the end of the year.
Okay, because I tried and I didn't get very far. All right. The other question, .fr, wonderful description of the AAP stuff. We're kind of stuck with these guys for a while. I think there's somebody here actually from there. Careful. So you said you pre-generate keys and you do this often. It almost sounded like you had the KSKs offline. Are they on the smart cards or are they in the HSMs? Are you reloading them each time you use the HSMs or?
No, they are online.
They're online. They're in there all the time.
Yes.
Okay, and with OpenDNSSEC, these pre-generated key blobs, how's that working for you with OpenDNSSEC? pre-generated DNS key
yes.
RR sets.
Yes, we pre-generate the world keys for 1 year, and then OpenDNSSEC
can take them in.
To do. Yes.
Okay,
it works fine.
All right, and I think the only other thing was Sarah from .pt. I'd love to talk to you more about some of the training you're doing for some of these other CCTLDs and the work done there. It looks that's exactly, you know, the model I like seeing, is to see that kind of, you know, train the trainer and expand the expertise in area. So anyway, thank you.
Okay, well, thank you, everybody. We've actually reached the end of the time on this session, actually very close to on time. And it's if anyone else has any last-minute burning questions, last chance to run to the mic. Okay.
Russ, I would just say I thought it was great. I want to say thank you to Sarah for bringing the fact that there's now a Portuguese CCTLD association. I thought that was great information that I did not have, and I just find it kind of cool about the way that we have the DNSSEC space and the growth in our communities, that we have both, you know, now for you with the Portuguese, and also we have the AFTLD folks here as well. So just neat to see this continued evolution of the different parts of CCTLD spaces. So thank you.
Yeah, and thank everybody. This has been such an interesting session, and I have heard some really new things, new ideas. It's hard to know how long it'll take to have them reach fruition and success. And Dan was pointing to the coalition. I thought the idea of funding a research activity in a university by the CCE activity itself, great idea. Get students educated. For those that are in the university world, Roland, thank you for encouraging your students to work in this space. That's great. And to everybody for the panel, very interesting, great updates, and thank you. They'll be around for a little bit. Let's give them one more round of applause. And now we have a break until 11 o'clock. We have water in the coolers up here. If people want coffee and tea, I'm sorry, it's not our fault. You have to go down to the first floor and buy it down there. That's just the way the conference center is set up.
For all day.
So do I need to go? I haven't yet, but I summoned up the, yeah, that you're doing. I'll probably, okay. I will try to do it before.
Yeah. Not because it was English, just because it was
Yeah, but there's a seat right over here.
There. Yeah. Yeah. So yes, we built our own health service. My biggest problem is fucking registries. I'll be mean to them here, and I'll give them a car, all over hardware or anything like that.
Yeah. One of the things that well we've
oh the art okay fine
yeah such a valuable tool.
Yeah. One of my usual kind of plugins.
Yeah.
It's a warning.
Yeah. So. Where are you?
Well, 5 or 6 off the night.
Like that.
See, game and report. Oh, my GTA is not.
By the time I actually get to where.
Oh, and if Ed says something.
Welcome, everyone, again to the DNSSEC workshop. We're getting started up. So please. Come take your seats, finish your conversations, and join us. And we've got more seats at the table here, so please come on up. And if panelists for our next panel would come and seat themselves, as I see they have just done, thank you, Oliver and Jacques, then we'll start shortly.